Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm the host of the show, and I have a great guest for you today. I have Emily Stroud. And for two decades, financial advisor, entrepreneur, speaker, author, and mother, Emily G. Stroud has counseled clients on how to handle money, manage risk, and plan for their financial future. Stroud is the owner and the manager of the investment firm Stroud Financial Management. She holds an MBA as well as the Chartered Financial Analyst credential. Her newest book, Faithful Finance, 10 Secrets to Move from Fearful Insecurity to Confident Control, is available now. Emily is a regular contributor to Today Parents, the parenting website and online community for the Today Show. She lives in Fort Worth with her husband and two children, and you can find her at emilygstroud.com. It is my pleasure to welcome Emily to our show.
Well, hello there. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, well, thanks for being on. I'm really excited today. I think this is such an important topic that people really need to get in tune with. So why don't you fill us in on some of the gaps from your bio and tell us a little bit more about your journey?
Okay, well, I started out about 20 years ago working at American Express Financial Advisors. I was an intern while I was getting my MBA, and I was studying finance. And so the cool part was I got to practice what I was learning in the classroom. And so I worked for a financial advisor at that time, and I was able to really learn a lot from him. He became a mentor to me. And so he, at that time, told me, Emily, figure out what your values are, figure out what you want your life to look like in the future, and then define that first and then decide on what job you're going to have. And so I built my whole life on the idea that I wanted flexibility. I wanted to help people. I was analytical by nature. And so financial planning was something that I was really excited about and passionate about. And I learned at that time and continue to learn. I worked for many large banks such as JPMorgan Chase and Frost Bank before I actually went into business for myself, but just learning how to counsel people on the best way to manage their money so they can live a more fruitful and peaceful life.
That is awesome. So then tell us a little bit about your business today, and then how's that shaped your lifestyle?
Well, it's really interesting. They are all one and the same. So my business is Straub Financial Management, and it's a boutique investment firm. We're in Fort Worth, Texas. And so I do soup to nuts financial planning. So everything from debt analysis for people who are really struggling with how to get out of debt to money management, investments, life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care insurance, estate planning. So I see myself as the quarterback for your team. I work with accountants and estate planning attorneys and attorneys for business transactions. And so I'm the person you call when you need to get your financial life in order. And then I help you get a plan together, which is really just a roadmap. And so my life and my business overlap greatly. I live in a farmhouse now on 8 acres. We actually moved out to the country because we wanted a more healthy lifestyle for our kids. And what turned out was my clients started coming out to the farmhouse, and we have a pond and a lot of land, and it's very peaceful. And I saw that they relaxed and they were more open and willing to tell me about their finances, which is a very personal topic. And so it's been really interesting to see how both our family and my clients have really benefited from this atmosphere. And so we sit around a farm table and we drink coffee and we talk about what we are worried about, what keeps us up at night. But then we also talk about best case scenario and then get a roadmap together. And so it's been really neat for my lifestyle. I am a mom. I have a daughter who is 12 years old, and I have a son who is 7 years old. And so I'm a working mom. And so having my office attached to my home is a huge benefit for my work-life balance.
Oh, I bet it is. And I really love that you sort of provide everything for people. I think a lot of people sometimes go out and they do investments or they, you know, but they don't have insurance or they don't think about estate planning as being something that's really important for them. And so the fact that you sort of look at their overall portfolio and make sure that they've got everything in check, that is a huge asset. And I think that's a great benefit and a great service that you provide.
Well, thank you. And that is kind of the whole battle cry of Faithful Finance, the book I wrote recently, is you need to have a plan. And in order to get a plan, you really got to have somebody that is helping you facilitate that. And eventually, you're going to either have a family member die or you're going to die. And so you need to have trusted advisors in place that can help you walk through those seasons as well.
I know that can be a very difficult time for people when a loved one has passed away and then they are suddenly stuck with, where do I find this information I need, or what is in place and what am I supposed to do, all while grieving at the exact same time. So that can be really challenging for people. And don't you think that's a situation that a lot of people run into?
100%. And I always tell my clients, because a lot of people think that talking about death is morbid, and so they don't want to get a will because they don't want to face the reality that someday they will die. And I always try to counsel them that, listen, it's going to happen, but if you'll get your affairs in order, get a will, get an estate plan, then you can be done with it. You can have the conversation, you can outline your wishes and desires, and then you check the box and you don't have to think about it again, and you can live your life. But for your loved ones, it's the best gift you can give them to be organized, so they're not running around trying to figure out what in the world to do at the same time that they're grieving your loss.
Absolutely. So, Emily, what would you say that two of your greatest skill sets are that have really helped you succeed in owning your own business?
Well, I am a type A personality, for better or for worse. And so that has served me well as far as being a business owner. And I'd say perseverance. It is not easy to be a business owner. It looks cushy from the outside. People see me in my Lululemon workout clothes in the carpool line and think, wow, that looks very easy breezy. And the reality is I'm working all the time. I have a bunch of flexibility, but if somebody needs something, it might be 11 o'clock at night when my kids are in bed and I got to run that proposal. I got to get that projection run. I got to get ready for that meeting the next day. And so learning to juggle a lot of balls in the air without getting super overwhelmed is a skill set that you have to have as a business owner. And the mindset that it's a 8-to-5 job goes out the window. This is a lifestyle. It's not a job. It's a career. And so I like building something. I like the process of growing and learning new things and building something of value. And so that's kind of why I'm always evolving. That's why I got into speaking and writing and publishing. And just because it's part of the whole brand of Faithful Finance.
Oh, that's great. Now, let me ask you this, because I'm curious, and maybe some of our listeners are too. Do you only take clients that actually come to your place, or do you take clients, everything, you know, so often today is done through the phone, online? Do you work with clients that are outside of your general vicinity?
I do now. With technology, honestly, with video conferencing, cell phone, text messaging, email, I can pretty much work with people wherever they are. It's always nice to break bread with somebody in person, but that is not necessarily something now that prevents me with working with clients, because pretty much if we can get together and they can give me the information I need, I can make recommendations.
Perfect. And then is your book just like a really great resource for overall what you provide for people if they're just wanting to learn like what they need to do to get their ducks in order?
Absolutely. And I wrote it in the manner I tell stories because I think people remember stories and they relate better to stories about people and what happened in their life. it's not a textbook about finances because that could get really tedious and boring. And so, but I do, I start with stories and then I educate you on what you need to know. And I try and take some of these scary, intimidating finance words or jargon, just like medical jargon. What does that really mean to me? And so I break that down so that when you do go meet with another advisor, maybe that's in your local town, you have some idea of what questions to ask and where to start. And so I realized years ago that everybody needs this information, but there's no way I can meet with everybody. And so I just wanted to take the intimidation factor out of it for people. And basically, it's like an encyclopedia. It's a resource. You could read one chapter at a time. You could just read the chapter about estate planning if you're starting down that road of, okay, I really need to get those affairs in order. Or if you're realizing, hey, I've got kids and a spouse, I need life insurance. Well, there's a chapter just about insurance. And so I tell you all the different types of insurance, the pros and the cons. And those are just examples. But you don't have to read the whole book from cover to cover to get something out of it.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that. And I think it's much needed. So that's awesome.
Thank you.
So share with us then one of your greatest achievements or something that you're really proud of.
Honestly, it may sound cheesy, but I'm most proud of being a mom. It's the hardest job I have.
It is the hardest job, right?
Yes. And it challenges me. And just when you think you've got one stage figured out and you're rocking and rolling, you hit a new stage and think, oh my gosh, I've never seen this before. So, and I just adore my kids. And I was a little bit of an older mom. I didn't have my kids until I was in my 30s. And so it's been nice to get my education and get my career to the point where I could focus a lot of time on them. And I was very blessed that way. And I just really enjoy them and watching them grow up. I want to freeze time, to be honest, but I also really enjoy the people that they are becoming. And so I would say becoming a mom is probably my biggest pride and joy.
That's awesome. You know, it was funny. I was visiting with a friend the other day, and she has kids that are 11 and 14. And so I started saying, now for myself, I have two children in my 30s, and then I have a 14-year-old. So I started all over. And so I said, well, when they're in their 20s, then you deal with this. And then in their 30s, it's this. And she said, wait a minute. You mean like once they're like out of the house, it's not over? I said, oh, no. The 20s come with a whole new stage of life. And then, you know, and first it's like you just really want them to be well-rounded kids. And then it's like, okay, going to college and finding their passion and then finding out like what's a job that they might enjoy doing so they can love their job. And then it's like, okay, finding the right spouse so that they can have a happy life. And then it's like, okay, then they start having kids. And then you're like, okay, I want to try to guide them in being a parent. I said, it just doesn't ever stop, really. So I just thought that was so funny. I think the parenting thing is something that just goes on forever. And it is one of our greatest accomplishments as women. So I don't think that's cheesy at all.
Well, thank you.
So then on the opposite side of that, what is one of your greatest challenges that you faced? And then how did you work through that?
Well, believe it or not, and this also goes back to having children being one of my greatest pride and joys, I had some pretty extreme health issues in my late 20s before my 30s. Honestly, I had sinus surgery and it went awry. There was an artery that was severed and I was hemorrhaging. It's a really yucky story. I won't go into the gory details, but what it did was it slowed me down and stopped me in my tracks. And when you're driven and a type A and you're in your 20s and I was a vice president of a bank before I was 30. So, you know, the type, mm-hmm. it was kind of God's way of saying, hold on, sister, you're going to have to slow down or you're going to burn out really fast. And so it was horrible at the time, but I look back and think, man, it was such a great thing because it really made me assess my priorities and figure out how to, just live a more balanced life. I was basically just burning the candle at both ends, trying to achieve. But it was tough, not giving up, not listening to the worst case scenario I'd hear from doctors and just really, really having to dig down deep and put one foot in front of the other. It was tough.
Yeah. Like I actually was just having this conversation with somebody earlier that when life throws you a personal crisis like that, and some people just go into paralyzed mode, you know, they'd like sit and then do nothing or binge watch Netflix or just kind of check out. And how do you, when you have this really important job of what you had, obviously, and or you might be owning your own business, right? And how do you deal with facing the struggle that you're with? It probably sets you back, but how do you keep going? What kind of things or did you reach out to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do to keep going? Or, you know, what sorts of things did you do? Because I was trying to give her some advice today, so I'm just curious.
Well, my faith personally is a big part of my life, and I don't think that I could have gotten through that season on my own if I didn't believe in a God that was for me and with me. And so I would pray a lot for wisdom and guidance and help. You know, what are the mm-hmm. right doctors to go to, who to listen, who not to listen. I sought a lot of wise counsel. I would talk to my parents. I would talk to people who had been down similar paths, doing the holistic homeopathic route when that wasn't mainstream. And so just educating myself. The good news is I've always been analytical. So I kind of looked at it as it was a puzzle that I had to figure out, and it was a project. I had to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. I do think that served me well because I was open-minded and I tried things. This worked, this didn't work. And some of the things I learned then I still incorporate in my life now. So just not living on an island, that's really important.
Yes. Perfect. So what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Working from my happy place really means I've got meaningful work. So I don't see it as just this taskmaster of check all the boxes. Like, I actually feel like what I'm doing for a living is having some sort of eternal, long-lasting benefit to others. So I feel there is a purpose. I guess that's the best way to explain it. And then also that the job complements my values. So, and then that I have work-life balance is really important to me now with the stage of life my kids are in. They're mm-hmm. very busy. I don't want to miss stuff.
Sure.
So just that's one thing I know. I don't want to have any regrets. And so I guess that's probably a good way of saying it, is just living a life where I say, you know what? What is not important and what is non-negotiable? And then that's real easy. That allows you, if you have that mindset, to make good decisions of what you're going to devote time to and what you're not going to devote time to. So, for example, when my daughter was in kindergarten, she's my oldest, I thought every good mom volunteers at the school all the time, right? Because that's what a quote-unquote good mom does. And so I was up there a lot. And so then I was spinning around in circles when she got home because I didn't get much done during the day while she was at school. And a lot of the time I was actually doing busy work for the teacher. So I wasn't even spending quality time with my daughter. I was in the teacher workroom cutting out gingerbread men. And so finally my husband called me out and said, "Is that really the highest and best use of your time?" And I said, no, but that was an expectation that I had put on myself. Oh, a good parent does this and fill in the blank. Well, not necessarily. Plus, that's not my gift. I'm not crafty. I don't get filled up by cutting and pasting and all of that. That's not my gift. And so there's other people that love that and want to do that. So saying yes to that, I prevented somebody else from getting joy from that. And I was pretty miserable. So just learning what is the best yes. What do I give my time to? And what do I say, you know what, thank you for asking me to do that, but I just can't devote the time that it deserves. And so I'm just going to have to say no.
I think that is so smart. And I would have to say, like, with my first two children, I don't know that I was great at that. You're navigating that, right? Because you feel guilty or there's this expectations. But boy, by the third one, I had learned, I'd say no. And honestly, you don't want me. You want somebody else. They're going to be so much better. I'll be happy to help you out with another project, but this is not my wheelhouse. And it's really learning your value, and it is really learning to say no to things that aren't important, as important on that sort of, you know, totem pole of life, and learning to not feel guilty about it, to learn that you're somebody else's. You said it so well. You're taking somebody else's joy by doing something that you don't even enjoy doing. I loved the way you put that, because that is so true in a nutshell.
Right. And I think you said it well too, that as moms and women, doesn't even have to be motherhood, we do operate a lot of times out of a place of guilt. And so not living with that mindset it's really liberating.
Absolutely. I remember my daughter said, "Mom, you have to bring in something for her birthday, and it has to be homemade. It cannot be. All my friends are going to think it's ridiculous if you go to the store and buy it." I said, first of all, your friends really aren't going to think that. They're going to love eating whatever we bring. And why can't you be the cool kid who has the coolest cupcakes in the room that are decorated really super fancy and are really awesome and aren't like everybody else's cupcakes? Why do I need to make them? Why is that going to make my cupcakes better? Is that really going to make these taste better? And are the kids really going to enjoy them? And does that make me a better mom? What about the great mom that went and really bought you the coolest cupcakes on the planet? So she said, "Okay, yeah, that makes sense." I think we do this to ourselves. Like, I could have bought into that and went, "Okay." But I'm like, no, I'm not buying into that. These kids are going to eat these cupcakes and love them whether I buy them at the store or if I make them, which I'm not good at. And nor do I want to spend the time doing it. Nothing about that makes me excited.
Exactly. And that's just an expectation that she's putting on herself that really is not true.
Absolutely. So, Emily, what advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs, who want to have their own business and want to have that lifestyle that, you know, people look at from afar and think it looks fantastic? What advice would you give?
Well, number one, get educated. So you've got to know your business. For me, that was a lot of education, because I can't have a fiduciary responsibility for people's finances and not be licensed with the SEC and have education and have experience and legally be able to do that, right?
Right.
If you go into something that's in the medical field, same thing. There's a certain amount of education and licenses. You just got to put in the time and do it. It's non-negotiable. Now, other industries, that may not be true, but you better be an expert on whatever it is that you're selling, whether it's dentistry or cupcakes. You better be the best at what you're doing, because you got to be able to differentiate yourself and know your story. Be able to explain to people why they should either buy your product or your service. You should have an elevator pitch. You should be able to tell somebody in 30 seconds what you do and how you do it and why you're the best at it without sounding arrogant. But you need to be informed. You need to find a balance of, I call it confidence, but with in a gracious manner. Does that make sense?
100%. So I love what you're saying, but yes, it makes complete sense.
And then in a best case scenario, and I was fortunate to do this, my husband is a dentist, but when we got married, he was still in school. So I was working full time as a banker and supporting us. And then once he got out of school and started finally working, then we had some time where we had to catch up. He had student loans and whatnot. But I slowly moved into a place where I was going to become self-employed, but we financially prepared for the major swings in income before I actually pulled the trigger. And then once I got established, he left his associate position, and opened his own practice. Well, that once again was a big swing in income when you're starting a business. Mm-hmm. And so just if you're married, figuring out something, an arrangement like that, it's going to take, both people are going to have to sacrifice. But the cool thing is we're both self-employed. And so we're our own boss. No one can ever lay us off. I've seen time and time again friends that have these dynamite jobs, and we look at them and think, oh my gosh, that must be so nice to have all those benefits and guaranteed paycheck and all the wonderful things that come with that. But they are at the mercy of their employer. And so that's one thing, we manage our own destiny. No one is ever going to come into our office and say, you're fired today. And so that was our goal. And also just the fact that from a financial standpoint, we're much more in control of how hard we want to work and what our goals are. And but perseverance and just realizing that if you see someone like myself and you think, oh, easy breezy, well, you didn't see the 20 years that went in the making of where I am today.
Wow. You gave so many gold nuggets in there. And I always like to point out gold nuggets because sometimes people are listening to a podcast and they're running or they're getting ready for work in the morning or they're driving down the road and kids are chatting, whatever might be going on. Sometimes people just are remote, just sort of, you know, listening to things and then they miss the nuggets. So a couple of the really, really big nuggets in that, which is, I get lots of people that give advice, but you gave so much really great sound advice in this section. I hope people go back and listen to this part again. But number one is becoming really educated and or becoming knowledgeable. And for some people, that might be like an actual education, like you said, becoming certified or qualified or whatever that licensing is required. But the second piece of that is, and I tell this to people all the time, and I'm blown away on a regular basis. So if we'll just use cupcakes because we've already talked about cupcakes today. I want to open a little cupcake shop. Okay, go work in one. Why don't you go work in one first and see what that is like? See what that feels like. Learn all the different parts of that job. Oh, I don't have time for that. I just am amazed at people that are willing to risk and sacrifice and hope for this great result when they won't put the time in or the energy in or the effort in to find out if it's something that they're good at, like, enjoy, want to do, or invest thousands of dollars into. So that was your first great piece of advice. The second one was to have a financial plan. You can't just quit your full-time job. You need to say, okay, here's my timeline and what kind of money am I going to set aside for that? Even when I started my speaking business, I knew that I wanted to do it, but I said, okay, I've got this really great salary job right now. And so I'm going to set aside this much money for my new business for exactly 1 year. And so when the time came, I was able to pay bills. You know, I always like to say, you know, I know financial planners say this too, but gosh, you should be able to pay at least 6 months worth of your bills before you ever think about really either investing in something really big or leaving a job. And so I think that that was another really big piece of advice that not everyone adheres to. And then they suddenly get into this business and it's costing more money than they thought. And then they don't have the money to live on. And then you start to get in that desperation mode and then you don't function at 100%. You cannot be creative or function when you've got this huge cloud or pressure or, you know, hanging over your head. And I think people end up putting themselves in that situation.
Oh, I see it time and time again. I actually had someone that is a pretty close friend reach out to me last night and say, hey, we've got a situation. Is there any way my husband and I can meet with you this week? And it's because he quit his job. And now because he wanted to be in real estate and it hasn't taken off as quickly as they thought. And now they're in a crisis situation from a financial standpoint.
Yep. Well, this has been really delightful today, Emily. So in closing, is there anything new and exciting that you're working on? Or why don't you tell our folks again how they can find you and connect with you?
Okay, great. Well, my website for my book, Faithful Finance, 10 Secrets to Move from Fearful Insecurity to Confident Control. It was published by Zondervan this year. You can find it at emilygstroud.com. There's a link there. Of course, it's available at Amazon. It's in all the national bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Lifeway, Books A Million. So it's Sam's Club even. So I would love for you to pick up a copy of that. You can email me. My website has a link there that you can connect with me directly on emilygstroud.com. I love to hear from readers. I love to hear questions. I also have another website that's just for financial planning if you need some resources. emilystroud.net is also my contact and my website. So either website is a great way to reach out to me, find out more about Stroud Financial Management Incorporated, and also my book, Faithful Finance.
That is wonderful. Well, Emily, thank you so much. It's been truly delightful having you as a guest on our show today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.